Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
$14 trillion as of today.
You are right, $14 trillion. I apologize, y'all, $14 trillion. So would you say we're bankrupt?
Most definitely. And I'm glad that you're having this show because there's a lot of people out there really don't know that this is something that's been going on for quite some time. The big banking industry, and I'll go into exactly what big banking industry I'm talking about. Trust me, they will not advertise this on TV, okay? This is something you will not get, and I hope that the people that are listening to your broadcast today understands that the information that they're going to be getting on your show today is what they're going to get 100% facts. You can look this information up. Any of the panel, any of the guests on your the panel, people, participants today, whatever information that they have for your listeners today, please do not believe us. Do not believe us. Take the information on board and check the information for yourself so you can understand exactly what's going on out here.
I think it was Cohen that said, tell them to get the pens and paper out. Did you, Cohen?
I told them, get your pens and paper out and get back and take them for a long ride because we're going to school today.
Okay. So, Cohen, would you say that America's bankrupt?
Most definitely. You know how we've talked at length, and I said some things with you off the air, one-on-one, and I, for one, been knowing for a long time that this country has been bankrupt. But the deal is it really bankrupt? When I say that, I mean, because in order to be bankrupt, you must have a debt. And you owe somebody, so who do we owe this money to?
Oh, you really want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, see, because think about it. If you don't owe nobody, then you're not bankrupt. But then if you have a deficit or a debt, that means you owe somebody. And as the brother said earlier, the Civil War, it started before the Civil War. It started way before that.
It started long before that, but.
Yeah, before that, because when I look at the records, when John Hanson was the president in 1781, they had borrowed money from a guy named Mohammedan from Morocco. They never paid him back his money.
See, what I found in research was that the top 10 countries and entities holding U.S. debt was like Japan, China, the United Kingdom. This is going to be shocking. Oil exporters. Now, why do oil exporters hold U.S. debt? That's interesting. Caribbean banking centers, Brazil, Hong Kong, Russia, Luxembourg, and Taiwan. So we owe everybody. So we have a problem with them. What can we do? No.
The brother will chime in on that.
Okay.
Let me tell you. All right. All the banking system of the world today stems from one source. Okay, now it doesn't matter how big the tentacles of this octopus is, okay? They all come from the Bank of London. The Bank of London is exactly where you get the Bank of Switzerland, you get all these banks, all of you get our 12 Federal Reserve banks from. It doesn't matter where the money is coming from. I'll tell you what's at the top of that pyramid. You're talking about the city state of London and the World Bank. So that's exactly who we owe, and they're the ones that are controlling everything that's going on around us today.
Mm. Okay, so that said, where does that leave us in terms of if they're – with the dollar? Okay, so if the dollar – what is backing the dollar? Let's just start there. What's backing the dollar?
Nothing but drugs.
Drugs are backing the dollar.
Oh, yes.
Drugs. America has no gold, it has no silver, it has no precious metals anymore. The big thing now is drugs.
Okay, so let's start with the precious metals. We know that all the precious metals are being bought up in terms of there was a rush, a couple of years ago, everybody starts, selling their gold because gold was, selling higher than it had for a long time. And then we noticed recently that Chase Bank is buying silver. So why do you think all of a sudden now there's this need for precious metals, and who's buying it, and why are they buying it?
Carrie, this is Mahir.
Hi, Mahir.
Hey. Let me just chime in on the first part of the question you asked, the first two panelists. And Roy, it's good to hear from you again, brother.
Okay, Roy.
and
same
coal.
Here, guys.
Again, yes, in terms of America being bankrupt, she's been bankrupt for a long time. And even when I liked the part that Cole had mentioned about Morocco, because it's really key. Morocco is the first, is the country that recognized America as coming into its own as a form of government before any other country in the world. Remember, America was still at odds with the British, seemingly, as well as the French, as well as the Spanish. Okay, so they weren't exactly friends as far as how things were played out. So Morocco, and there's a reason Morocco is very, very key. Many of the Moors, which is count Morocco as part of their epicenter, their strength, because from quote-unquote Morocco, the Moors spread out into what was then called Iberia, which now is called Spain, and over here definitely in the Western Hemisphere and all throughout the northern western part as well as the eastern part of the continent of Africa. So you had many of them here in the U.S., is who George Washington in the 1700s was signing a treaty with these same folks, but they were living here. Their domicile was here on the Delaware River. You can look that up, okay? And as one of the calls I mentioned before, the Treaty of Peace and Friendship, you will see those names clearly. And His Highness from Morocco, that's all in that treaty. So they loaned money. Gold was loaned to George Washington's campaign, $5 million from Cuba. So, and this is some women who were referred to as the governesses. So you have a few things going on in the back channel. Now, we get up, fast forward, up to the Civil War era. America was clearly broke prior to Reconstruction, was broke, and who financed the Civil War? Well, this, again, came from those elitists of the elitists back in Europe, old country Europe. Okay, we're talking about the Rothschilds. That's what we're talking about. And they fund and financed both sides of the conflict, the North and the South. The weapon systems that they were using to kill each other during the Civil War came from one source. So the U.S. wasn't even producing its own field artillery cannons. They weren't even producing their own rifles that they were using to kill each other North and South with. Okay?
Let me cut you off for a quick minute. And let me interject this, okay? What they don't tell us in modern history books is that, and you're right, the banking industry were working their way through the South and through Canada. I want you to remember that the British sent troops to Canada, and they sent British troops into Mexico to put pressure on the northern states to push to get rid of the First Bank of the United States and bring in that centralized foreign banking industry through the South, okay? This is what started. This is what started, people. I want you all to understand the history that you learned in school was wrong, okay? Now, what happened was is that when the northern states found out that this banking industry was coming up through the South, okay, that's what started the war. I mean, let's make no mistake about it, okay? The slavery was wrong, but trust me, it was not the fundamental cause of the Civil War. It was all economic, okay? Now, I want you to understand also, that's why the northern states asked for the French and the Russians to help them finance their side of the war, okay? The Russians gave us a blockade off the coast of New York in order for the northern states to get supplies in and out of New York, okay? And the French also gave a lot of money, but they didn't have naval supremacy as the Russians did. Okay, now after the North won the war, okay, the banking industry, they sat back again. They was like, okay, first of all, we're gonna get rid of Abraham Lincoln. Use John Wilkes Booth, killed off Abraham Lincoln, which John Wilkes Booth is related to the Crown of England.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then all of a sudden, And then we had to pay Russia back. How did we pay Russia back for their services? Will somebody tell me? Huh? Yes. It was called Stewart's Folly, wasn't it? Because remember, we purchased Alaska from Russia in order to pay them back for the blockade. Now, it was the Romanovs who actually helped us because, see, the Romanovs knew what was going on because this has all been pre-planned from the beginning. See, they have 100 and 200 year plans. And so the Romanovs didn't want this New World Order to come into focus, okay? So they lent a hand. But that's why the banking industry of the world, which was, like you said, the Rothschilds, the Royal Bank of London, financed the Bolshevik Revolution. They educated Karl Marx in England and Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky. Can I go on? And they Bolshevik Revolution ran the Romanovs out of Russia, and that's why we get the status quo. And don't forget the French Revolution as well, because it all happened right after the Civil War.
That's right. And just to give a little bit more light, and this is me here again, to give a little bit more light into the debt, yeah, we all talk about $14 trillion and $16 trillion. That is what they say is the debt that is normally carried by us purchasing things on credit and a whole list of other stuff. They say, but if you throw in, and this is from some source that I saw up there, a credible source, if you throw in Medicare, Social Security, and other unlisted obligations, that's the term that the government uses when they speak, obligations, that's a big term.
They say
that when you add that on to the $14 trillion, Social Security, Medicare, unemployment, whatever the other things that factor into it, all this other toxic debt, okay, that the government has got, they said the true picture starts at around $100 trillion, possibly expanding to $200 trillion. That's where we are.
Can you name that source?
Yeah, one of them is you can go to Gerald Celente. He has something called Trends Research, and he says you can fast out the information about what he's about. He's up in New York. He's Italian. And this guy, his motto and documentation is his conversation. They're investors. They do other things as well. But finances, is these guys know this stuff like they know the back of their hands. That's what they do. Trends Research, I believe it's TrendsResearchJournal.com. Gerald Celente. The other gentleman is Max Kaiser.
And Mohair, Gerald Celente, he foresees the future of our economy. He's got tired of telling the American people what was going on, and I hope you all hear me out there. He left the country, by the way.
Okay, so did Max Kaiser.
I'd like to interject something in there for the audience. Material they can go get and read and start reading, looking at. But I'm here.
Okay, you have others out there, too.
Okay, I want people to go back and take a look at a book called The Tuning of the Matrix by David Icke. Mm-hmm. And also, Alan Greenspan wrote a book, The Age of Turbulence, The Adventure in a New World. He served as your chairman of the Feds for a number of years. And they wrote about these things long before that, but I want to go back just a little bit further than what my previous panelists have talked about. This thing was orchestrated way before we're talking about now. I'm talking about around 1489, there was a council of group of 300 men came together called for the Protocols of Zion. They sat down in 1489 to watch these dates and put together a plan to create a homeland and refuge for the expired Jews. Now, don't get excited. Everything has its place. What happened in 1492 when Columbus came, his job was to find a place for the expelled Jews of Spain. There was a guy by the name Theodore Herzl. My brother knew well about him, Brother Mier. His job was to go out and try to find a place. Then they start putting together a plan to pull the weight of the world. How do you create wealth? You got to create something and put a price on it or make it become priority. Tomorrow, if we decide to make dirt priority, gold would have no value, but dirt would. jewels as primary things of value. We could change things by devaluing all these things and don't deal with it. But see, now they lie banks on this, so now they took in the gold and silver and the prison, and they gave you paper money. Now, the mayor controls the value of the money, so they set the rates, the interest rates up and down. Who is that? Federal Reserve. Who are they tied to? The IRS. Who controls our line? The IRS and the Federal Reserve. You see what I'm saying? Who do not get voted in? The feds.
Right.
Now, Cohen, let's talk about where money comes from. First of all, for people who don't know, money was created to control you.
And that's right.
Okay.
Control the masses.
They put a price. They actually put a price on your life, your time. So you give your time at a job, and that's the price that they're going to pay for your life. Okay. Now, what happens is they started creating this concept of inflation back in the Roman times with a concept called clipping. Are you familiar with clipping? Okay.
Right. That's where you get something at one place and you mark it up.
Yeah.
Right. What you do is, what they did was they started taking the gold pieces, and they started clipping pieces off of the gold pieces and substituting nickel or copper for the gold pieces.
Okay.
And then they take that and they create more gold pieces, and that's inflation. So if a man, just like what happened back in the Second Depression back in 1929, when the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank, everybody, they increased the monetary paper out here by 166%. So, I mean, just think about it. If somebody had $100,000 in the bank, and they think that's quite a lot of money, and all of a sudden the Federal Reserve increased the money supply by 166%, you're not going to have nothing but around $16,000, maybe $6,000.
And that is true, my brother. I was looking at something about there's a book by Eustace Mullins. You might be familiar with it, called The Conspiracy of the Federal Reserve. You familiar with that book?
I didn't get a chance to read that book.
Okay, that book is a powerful book. And Eustace Mullins used to be a part of the political writers. And his job, he wrote a book about it long time ago about what was coming down the pipe. And what he told us was, with them manipulating the interest rates of money and printing more money, because, print money is actually illegal in the United States. The Constitution says it has to be coin metal. Paper money is actually counterfeit.
Mm. Right. And as a matter of fact, let me pitch off of that. United States, for everybody out there, was the first country to turn money into paper.
Uh-huh. Now, correct. I got a question for everybody out there. Take a Mahira.
Yes.
Sister Carrie.
Yes, sir.
What's my address? I forget your name.
Roy Mahira and yourself.
Okay, Roy, listen. Take a dollar bill out of your wallet.
Yeah, everybody get a dollar bill out.
I'm going to show you something because we tell people, examine this, and you'd be surprised what you see. Mahira probably already know, we discussed it in class. On the dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve note. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, down below, United States of America. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just to the left, would you read what's just to the left in small print?
It says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
What's wrong with that statement?
It's not a period there.
It's not a period there. It's a comma, but not a period. It's an open ended. It's not complete.
Y'all get that? They didn't get that, go on.
Please explain it to everyone out there. Give them that. Explain it to them. Let them know what changed and when it changed and why it changed.
When we went from the gold note to the silver note to the federal note, they left an open end statement. It's not a period that they close it out because they leave it open for change. It's going through change now. It says private and public. Remember, this is currency. This is paper. It's controlled by the Federal Reserve. It's nothing but an IOU. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but an IOU.
Let me blow up for just a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage. Today's topic is Who Bankrupts America? If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call in at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is down today. We apologize. We were not able to fix our technical difficulties prior to airtime, but we hope that we'll have it up and running next week. Okay, Kohan, finish.
Okay. I was looking at the Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Milling. In chapter 10, if you, just for a second, the editorial page of the New York Times, January 18, 1920, carried an interesting comment on the Federal Reserve System, the undefined writing of Paul Wahlberg states, Federal Reserve is a front of credit, not capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's a front.
Okay.
Right. Now, I want to go, this is Mahir, I want to go back to something that Cole mentioned, 1489. I happen to have an Old Testament book right here called the Stone Tanakh.
Please
Stone
read
Tanakh,
that.
The Stone Edition, is, and here's what it consists of, the Torah, Prophets, Writings, the 24 books of the Bible, newly translated and annotated. Now, I'm going to go to the preface on page 19. So if you can go to Barnes & Noble, this is to the listening audience, and you just want to pull this book off of the Judaica section in Barnes & Noble or any bookstore and go to the page that's XIX, that means 19. Right here at the bottom, there's a paragraph that says, God is never gone. Now,
check this out.
Listen to what they're talking about. It says, this is a major principle in the understanding of history. God may seem to slumber, but he never abandons his master plan for creation. It has been noted that the day after the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail to discover the land that was to become a major refuge and a source of support for the Jewish people in their future. It took centuries before this connection became apparent. But the descendants of the despised and tortured Jewish nation would follow in the wake of the explorer who had been commissioned by Ferdinand and Isabella, architects of the Inquisition, and period. So we're going to just want to end that right there.
Right there. So who bankrupted America? It was an orchestrated plan put in place by an elite group I'll call the Cultural Chiefs. And the idea is what? Control the masses.
Well, let me ask the question. What is the dollar valued at today?
10 cents.
Wow. Kundalini,
yeah,
did you say you did some research on that? What did you find the dollar to be valued at?
Most of the research that I came up with was talking about basically that the dollar in comparison mostly talks about inflation from places I saw, how things that might have cost, you know, Even stuff like candy that was just 5 cents, 10 cents, just 30-40 years ago is up to a dollar or something, and just the way that the dollar can change. And plus, some research on, I don't know if anybody on the panel today knows about Jekyll Island, which was a place where they originally came together. I think the Rothschilds and several different
looking at it right now. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All came together to actually start up the Federal Reserve, which has never been a part of our government. It's a privately owned, you know, company.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that was a whole other topic in itself.
Yeah, Kutalendi. On November the 22nd, 1910, on Jekyll Island, which you're talking about, when they started this thing. Theodore Roosevelt was sent to Nelson, a whole list. They've got what's called the National Monetary Commission. They set this thing up. Now, who are these people?
Okay. What was your question? Who is what?
Now, who are these people now? Now, these people are dead, but who were their ancestors? Who are they connected to? What secret society are they tied into?
I guess nobody knows. You're going to have to tell us the answer.
We're talking about the oligarch. We're talking about the history. We're talking about the Council of Parliament. We're talking about the Illuminati. We're going all up the line.
Okay, you know what, and I'm glad you all brought that up, but you know what, we can go very deep into that, but I really want to concentrate on Carrie's topic of discussion today.
Okay, let's go.
But I definitely wanted to jump on your protocols of Zion, and trust me, but a lot of people don't want to. We're not ready for that show yet. That's a whole nother show. Trust me. That's a whole nother show.
Right.
That's a whole nother
really
show. Now, what I wanted to get into was, first of all, Carrie, I got somebody that tried to call in, and I wanted to see if he can get on my line real quick and be your call-in listener since your chat room is down today.
I couldn't pick them up on the board. Do they want to try to call back in? I didn't see their – did they raise their hand? Because I didn't see their
– Yeah, I had somebody tried to call in just a little while ago, and it was a caller.
Okay, I'll call it that. 817, I was not able to get to y'all because they were in the middle of what they were saying. There was an 817 that I did not get to that had their hand raised. I apologize. But if you'd like to pass them the phone or they can dial back in, whichever they like to.
Yeah, he's dialing back in.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, now let me go ahead and just break down something for you all as far as let me put this out real quick.
Okay.
Okay. For everyone listening out there at the broadcast today, I want you all to understand. I want you to understand this. Putting your money away is not going to help you.
None whatsoever.
You got to understand that what's happening is that this is the collapse of the dollar. You've got to understand that the NAFTA treaty, which they've been working on for quite some time, and the last signature block was in 2008, it's going to go through. That's the North American Free Trade Agreement for those who didn't know.
That's it.
Now, people, this is going to come through. This is going to merge. This has already been approved. It's already been signed. They're going to merge the economies of Canada,
mm-hmm.
America,
right.
And Mexico.
Already
and
done.
And I'm just letting people know that this has to come through. Just
but that
like
happened
it did
under
to
Clinton,
Europe.
Didn't it?
Under who?
Wasn't it Clinton?
Clinton, and then it was Bush Jr. signed the last signature block in 2008, right before he left office.
Right.
It is in stone.
Okay, let's go to the phone line.
I remember in 2005 at Waco University when it was President Bush and I believe it was Vicente and it was also whoever the prime minister was in Canada met at Baylor University in 2005 and they signed their signature block. And trust me, people, it's coming through. Do not stop listening to this TV. You're not, trust me, we've got our next segment of prime mortgages are coming up in this next first quarter of this year. So you're looking at around 3.5 million or more homes coming up for their prime mortgage going to come up. For
right.
People that don't know what a prime mortgage is this. It's that what happened is people were getting mortgages out here, but they were just paying on the interest on the loan. They were not paying on the loan itself. And
on
after a certain time, exactly, it's going to mature. And when that maturation occurs, you're talking about going, and I'm just hypothetically speaking, you're going to go from maybe an $800 house note to a $1,600, $1,800 house note. And you know what? People can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to the phone line, Joe, 817-320. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Good afternoon.
My name's Nate, and I just wanted to get in on some of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Nate.
I'm Roy Jones' buddy.
Okay.
And are we live right now?
Yeah.
Bye. Waiting on you.
Hey. Yeah, I just wanted to go off on some of this. I wanted to lay it out because you guys have been going in lots of very good details. Fine, little small details. I just wanted to lay some big picture down what I've been seeing.
Okay.
Okay, and I mean, just starting it off, I mean, when for our country, America, you're asking why we're bankrupt and who bankrupt us.
Yes.
And it's really a big hamster wheel is what it is. It's really a trap that we've been put in. And here's the process that it started with. Because in the beginning, you know, as they were saying before, that they started the gold and silver, and that was an actual value that we created. And we had the gold and silver coins, and that represented our value. And then we even moved into the paper form, and the guys were saying, you know, America created the first paper money. But still, on that, it said you could take that to the bank or wherever you need to go. You could turn that in for actual gold or silver.
No more.
Then 1930s, they abolished the gold standard.
Yep.
They got rid of that. And that's when the Federal Reserve came up and started printing these dollars. And the other caller pointed out very good that you can look on these dollar bills, and it says that it's debt.
It's
not worth the value. And that's when they started printing off all that debt money. And then in the 1950s came along, they got rid of the silver coins, too.
Right.
They didn't want anyone having actual value money. That's been a part of the whole setup. JFK tried to bring the silver coin back.
He killed him.
And we saw what happened when he tried to do that.
Okay. Wow.
He was also trying to check the CIA. And, of course, he gave a wonderful speech to the people about how the media may try to influence you in different kind of ways, and they need to be working for the people. And he also warned about secret societies.
Right.
And how we don't need these secret oaths.
And then shortly thereafter, he was killed, right?
Yeah, because he wanted to turn around and let them work.
They took him out.
Money. But they said no.
Wow. Well, thank you, caller.
Great.
Would you like to add anything else?
No, yeah, there's more stuff too, because that, now what they're doing this whole quantitative easing thing. who's heard of that nonsense there?
Repeat that again, the quantitative what?
Quantitative easing.
Okay.
And
right.
The Federal Reserve has printed off $600 billion for their QE1, and then we're doing the second one right now where they're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a third one that's coming up, QE3, where they're going each time they insert $600 billion into our monetary system. And every dollar that is printed off just depreciates the value of every dollar we have out there.
Mm.
And what's even worse is when the banks get this money,
right,
the banks are only legally required to hold 10% as a reserve.
Mm.
So if these banks are holding 10%, so if the bank gets 10 grand, they can make up another 90 grand out of thin air and loan this out to people.
Wow.
Because they're only legally required to hold 10%.
And listen here, caller, let me put this out. Let everybody out there in listening land understand this, that the Federal Reserve has never been audited. Since 1913... They have
never
been audited, and they don't even know where the gold is right now. Like you said, they're printing money out of thin air, and
let me ask this
Congress
before we go
can't
back.
Do anything about it.
But let me ask this before we go back to the phone line. I don't know if the audience knows that the Federal Reserve System basically is held – the interest of that is not really held by the United States. It's held by, like, the Rothschild Bank and Warburg Bank and Lazard Brothers and Israel Moses and Chase Manhattan and Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Con Loeb Bank. So for those who are thinking, like, the Federal Reserve is, you know, owned by the government, not really. And
oh, no. They are completely separate from the government.
The reserves owns the media. So if the dollar was to devalue or destabilize tomorrow, who's going to tell us? If the media is owned by the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve is owned by the banks, who's going to tell us? Anyway,
well,
we're going to go back to the phone line. Area code 214-208. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Is that me?
Good afternoon.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I'll say this. My thought is basically like this. I mean, we can kind of go into a lot of details about what's value right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, everybody to really kind of take a look at the time that we really have, just period. Everything we are today is really based on our experience of yesterday. And really, I think that right now it's just up to us to create new experience for a better tomorrow, whether they take all the value away from anything. Our first value comes from name. And I think it's up to us to start just building our names up. And that's really all I had to say.
I'm sorry, Cole, I don't know if I followed you. Okay, you said our value comes from where?
He said our value from your name.
Okay, yeah,
name.
Okay,
right. What you build out there as far as with everybody else, as far as your relationship and
right.
how you treat people and stuff like that. I mean, I've been a lot of places, and I've ended up meeting a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that money is so immaterial.
Ooh,
when you have great people around you, and when you really understand what life is all about, we're building out here whether we like it or not. And it's all about whether we're building the right things or the wrong image. And that's really all I really had to say. That's just my two cents about the whole deal. I understand it. There's a lot of little secret things that a lot of people are doing, and they got control in all different types of areas. But can we control that? No, we really can't.
You know what? The thing about it, we don't have to like it. We don't have to accept it. You got to understand that they have done a fantastic job.
A great job.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job. You got to understand, and I want everybody to understand this. When they started... When they started the campaign of the media, when the television came out in the 1920s, and they started the brainwashing campaign on the people of the United States, they found out that the people of the United States were different from the people overseas, and this is what made us different. It's that people overseas that were non-American thought like this. Their thought process was needs creates desires.
Yep.
They found out that the people of the United States think opposite. They think that desire drives needs.
Thank you, caller. If you just
okay.
tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you Center Stage, which was today's topic, Who Bankrupts America? If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, one. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call in at 347-850-8390, and again, press one.
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, they was talking about, let's bring it to Dallas. Like I said, once again, I'm in the industry, NAFTA. You know, a few years ago, they was talking about the euro, remember? The euro.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, America's credit was so bad, she couldn't get on the euro, so she started a thing called Amerio, where you brought in Mexico, Canada, and the United States, that pack. Mm-hmm. Laura Miller, when she was mayor of Dallas, she sent nine city councilmen to China, cut a deal for $14 million. That's why you have that hub out there on 45 in Hutchings. That's why all the things that come export and import comes through Dallas, because she cut a deal with the Chinese government. China owns at least a third or two-thirds of the wealth of America. Everything we do goes through China. Now, who runs China? Who's running China is the key. Who's running India? Who's running Japan? Who are the elite heroes that you don't see who are not voting in or voted upon yet control the lives of the Federal Reserve?
Can I answer that one for you?
Sure.
Great Britain.
And who runs Great Britain head? Because the word Britain means what? The word British deal with the word covenant man. That's Hebrew. British means covenant man. So who's this covenant man?
Nobody knows. Tell us.
Come on now. Let me hear what you got.
Brother Manhattan knows. The word British means covenant man.
Okay. British.
British. British.
Yeah, British. As a matter of fact, this is Mahir. The first part of the word, Brit or Berith, means
Brit,
covenant.
Yeah.
The last part is ish. Ish. Ish means man.
Man.
Isha means woman, but it means a little bit more than man. It's masculine. Ish is masculine for a helper. Masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Isha is, if you're two people are quote-unquote married, you're not referred to as the English terminologies, husband and wife. That's something entirely different. But you have your helpmate. So these are the helpers of the covenant. Now, and the religious faction of it, which has nothing to do with the belief in the God that we say we believe in, okay? In America, you have something which works with them on the quote-unquote religious faction or their version of spirituality is B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is children. mm-hmm. of the covenant.
Okay.
And their symbol is the pentagram, which is the two, which is the star turned upside down with the two points symbolizing the goat's head. And this is, and they have a major epicenter in California. I don't remember which city, if it's Sacramento or L.A., but they have a faction, and they have chapters all over the place. And out of that comes the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. So they're all tied in together. So on the surface, when they're in our neighborhoods, we're thinking that they may be talking about something, for those who don't know, may be talking about something that's in our best interest, but you got to ask, what source are they plugged into, and how do they fit into the whole plan? This is all part of the protocol of Zion. But I want to say this real quick, because someone, one of the panelists mentioned this. They said they talked about J.P. Morgan and all of them, and they're buying up gold and silver. Well, there's a problem that they constantly that they have right now. If you don't have the actual gold and silver in your hands, then you don't have it at all.
That's
now,
it.
What people have been doing is buying the stocks.
That's
so,
right.
Physical silver, P, and the symbol that you can look up is PSLV. Okay, that's a symbol that's traded, and then it had SLV. Now, none of that is the actual silver you have in your hands. Same thing with gold. So how much do J.P. Morgan physical silver on hand do they have? Someone said, I think someone said there's 100 million, 100 million tons of silver. But the number of people who've actually bought the stock, it's overrated because according to the stock, J.P. Morgan's neck is on the line for 700 million tons of silver, but they only have something like 101 million tons of silver. So
okay, yo,
what they're saying is the people who are actually out here at the exchanges buying the actual 99.9% pure silver coins, the gold coins, that's going to cause the banks, and the banks are trying to prevent this from happening, like J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and them, from them totally collapsing sooner than they expect to collapse. So the Tea Party is actually encouraging people, you go out and buy this gold and silver yourself. Do this. China is doing it. India is doing it. Iran is doing it. So there's countries around that is out there scouting, taking control of these actual gold and silver mines. So they've gone beyond the paper money. And while this is going on, China, India, Russia, all of them are unpegging their currency from the U.S. dollar, which was counted as the reserve currency. So, in other words, your
money
in Russia
might line,
actually
Joe.
Mean... Okay, all right. Well, you go to the phone line. Line, and I'll hold that thought.
Okay. Area code 267, good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I mean, I also, actually 2 years, 3 years ago, I purchased a good part of silver because it was like funny business and lots was going on with America as for the currency, and I just seen everything was just collapsing, falling down and stuff like that. But I never took real and deep seriousness about this Amero
mm-hmm.
coming through.
Yep, it's coming.
Now I see why.
It's coming.
And it's just, you know, I mean, it's certain things is not being told to the public view, and why are you going to say tell them? Now I see why, like, the independent party is never get elected to be president. You know why?
Why?
Because they somewhat know the truth.
The independent party.
What's going on. And what's going on, but nah, we are being deceived with, oh, vote this person, Republican, Democrat.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, exactly.
That
old guy that was running for independent, he was actually telling the truth of what was going on. And guess what? We just didn't listen.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, caller.
Now,
you're
Terry,
welcome.
This is
Terry.
Yes, sir.
Could I
Terry, there was a group in Dallas back in 1970. Used to control a lot of the silver, the Hunt family. You ever heard of the Hunts?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
The Hunts had to give their silver and silver rights.
Okay.
Okay, another thing is, Well, don't get caught in the gold mine, because FDR during the gold crash, considering anybody having gold, it was a criminal offense, and they could take you in and put you in jail.
Now, Cohen, that was in. Now, I wanted to bring that up too.
Yeah.
Don't believe what the TV is telling you about going out and purchasing gold, physical gold, and putting it in your house. Because first of all, if you have it now, when you trade it in, or you're gonna pay a penalty for trading it in. And then all they got to do is bring the 1933 Act back into effect.
Yeah, that's the one.
Like Cohen said, in 1933, that made it illegal for you to have gold at your house, for American citizens to have gold, and you will be picked up and you will be put in those FEMA camps. Trust me, those camps are there. Those camps are there. And y'all
don't follow that.
And now, Cohen, I want to just back up just 1 second for you all. Because I think some people out there, when I talked about, we talked about the British and them owning China, I bet someone put their chin in the air because they need me to be a little bit more, to explain that a little bit more for them. Let me explain that for you. All right, people, I want you to understand that it took the British a very long time to break China down. They did this. And it was around the 12th to 1300s, called the Opium Wars.
Right.
And that's when they brought in opium from the Middle East, which they did the trading. And we're talking about, I love the way they brag about themselves in these new movies, you know, with the Pirates of the Caribbean and the East Indian Trading Company. That was one of the companies that was actually a British-owned company that actually had the pirates like Sir Francis Drake and Blackbeard. All those people worked for the East Indian Trading Company and was the Hudson Bay Company. And they worked for those companies shipping tobacco, drugs, cocoa, coffee. And they also were involved in the opium production. They were also involved in shipping opium. They brought the opium through the Middle East, up through China, broke China down from the inside out. And if you all, people who know history, and, you know, you can believe me. If you don't, look it up.
You struck a major nerve right there. You said inside out. That's the key.
They marched on Hong Kong. The British Army marched through the streets of Hong Kong and put their puppet government in, okay? And don't think, and India, they did the same thing in India. That's why they speak English in India. Because whenever you conquer a people, you make them speak your language, and you also give them their religion.
Let me mention something that I found in research, too.
Okay.
Did y'all know that the national debt is our national debt is larger than the total economies for China, the United Kingdom, and Australia combined?
Yes.
That's just our debt.
Yes.
That's
yes.
crazy.
And that's just the debt. Now, Roy, your caller, had made mention about the Dutch East Indies Company. Well, they just, we don't want the listening audience to get the notion that while they were busy all up and down in the Caribbean and they were all over in China, they were all over in India, that they didn't set foot here too. What were they called? They were called the Dutch Franciscan Fathers or Designers or Framers. Who are the descendants of them today? They don't go by that name today.
No.
Right here in the South. They're called D-A-R is the letters. Daughters
of the
Revolution.
Or
they used to be called Daughters of the Southern Confederacy.
Yep.
And now today, after 1929, their names were changed to DAR, Daughters of the Revolution. And sometimes we think it has something to do with the North and South fighting each other. It had absolutely nothing to do with none of that.
Because slavery was called economics back then. Brother Mayor.
Yes.
Did you look at the page I told you to look at on that symbol?
I didn't pull that up on the symbol, but that's called like the, I think it's like the three finger clove.
Okay, everybody see the symbol. Noreen, you know they had control. Signs and symbols of Primordial Man by Albert Churchwater. You familiar with the book? Yeah. Anybody familiar with that book? Signs and symbols of Primordial Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the symbol everybody run around with now of the New England of the New Orleans Saints. That symbol. That three figure attached together.
Right.
That's a symbol of world control.
Wow.
That's why it's so powerful. Everybody got me calling. That ain't just a symbol for the NFL. That symbol has a lot of power behind it. Mm. It's connected deep, way deep.
And you know what? And I hate to go off subject.
And the boss guys have it on their uniform.
Yes, they do. And you know what? I hate to go off subject on you a little bit, but this is to let everybody know how they have controlled us for a long time. Let me tell you how they get into your mind, okay?
Okay.
Let me tell you something. And it started off, remember we talked about, and the listeners, I want you all to stay with me now. Remember
okay.
we talked about how the Roman influence on how they started the clipping, and they started, this is how they started their monetary, increasing the monetary system and causing inflation in Rome, and they're doing the same thing with increasing the money out here, okay?
Now,
I want you to understand that the people that were in control then are the same people in control now, okay? I want everybody out there to understand. They haven't given up anything. Now, I'm just going to...
Put them on clarity on that because anybody said that to you, well, I got some people are dead. That is the spirit and the energy of the mindset that's in control.
Yes.
Right. And, Cole, I'll say this. The plan that yourself and Roy are speaking of, when you go back to the protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, they tell you in their writings that they can wait this out because they made a plan. They said whether their plan takes 200 or 400 years. So we know it's not the same physical person physically,
but it's
they're
an aura.
Who are dedicated. They're dedicated to bringing this dream of their version of a utopia to fruition. So they let us know that every 20 years they'll change your mind about health, economics, education.
Looking at it red
in,
now.
All in all. Yeah, every 20 years they'll come out and say tomatoes ain't good for you. And then they turn around and I'm being facetious here. And then they'll turn around and say, you know, we found that there are properties in broccoli and tomatoes that can actually help slow down, if not outright cure cancer. But before they had you laugh, they had us laughing at our grandmothers for giving us lemon and honey when we got sick. Now you go into the store, and what do you got? Halls, Ricola, all of this different stuff that's out there selling you what grandma gave you for free. They're now selling this stuff back to you that you're going to pay money for it, Halls, lemon and honey. But they got us to first laugh at our grandmothers, saying that was old, antiquated, and that they were quacks.
I want to make a statement.
Go
back, to the subject we're dealing with. We're back up to America. Let's go back to Ronald Reagan, 1988. When they went and broke down the Union, when they went back and opened up the borders, when he opened the borders up, when he took the boundaries down,
right?
He forced the African people to go back to work.
Right.
Started things happening then. That opened up our trade, except a trade agreement with foreign nations, closed our oil refineries, started buying from OPEC. That started a decline in this country when Ronald Reagan was in office, when he broke down these guidelines.
Let me break in just for a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLAC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage with today's topic, Who Bankrupt America? If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, we apologize, the chat room is down today due to technical difficulties, but we hope to have it up and running again next week. Okay, Kohan, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
It was called deregulation.
Okay.
We deregulated all the freight. It's one time the railroad controls the trucking industry. It controlled everything. He deregulated everything and opened up the borders. If you remember the day, you heard what China told America the day when President Obama shook the hands of the Dalai Lama?
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to cut back on new treasury. We're going to peel back on buying new treasury bonds. That's going to force another problem in the economy. Who controls our T-bills and treasury bonds? Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the big banks. Do I have to go further?
Well, China said we're gonna stop buying your treasury, but we're gonna cut back. You can't do business in China like you do business over here. So we're gonna cut back. We're gonna pull back because you shook hands with Dalai Lama. I wonder why.
That's a lie. And Mr. Cohen, let me. I was telling Carrie last time I spoke with her. As of last week, they don't really know who's buying the stock.
Uh-oh.
They don't even buying stock. Now, they're supposing it's the Chinese. They're supposing it's other foreign government, but they won't release the information to us. They don't know who's buying stock. And if you just look at it, last week the gold price was at $1,421 an ounce, and today it's $1,367. You know what? When we had the caller come in, the 187 caller call in, and he said that the quantitative easing, the $6 billion, people, the QE2, the quantitative easing 2, they increased the $60 billion to $1.3 billion. And with the and just alone with the quantitative easing 1, they were already putting in $65 million into the economy. And I mean, they're just printing $65 million, put it into the economy every month just to keep the economy going until they're ready to shut this thing down.
Let me switch gears for a second and ask this question. If America's debt obligation is sold, let's just say if China decides to sell it to somebody, because they can if they find a buyer, somebody's willing to pick it up, what does that mean for America? They have one agreement with America as far as the debt, but if they sell it to, say, let's just say Russia or whoever, then what happens?
We're going to war.
Wow.
We're going to war. Bottom line, you're going to war.
That takes us into war. Wow. Because
war.
I mean, if you owe me so much money and you haven't paid it back,
we're going to war. Bottom line.
Wow.
When George Washington decided not to pay back the money he had borrowed from Muhammad Abdullah from Morocco,
right?
The next day we go into war.
But see,
one writer's
idea was that the reason that China is being very patient with us is because we buy their product. If you notice, most of the stuff we buy is made in China.
Cohen, I'm going to have to disagree with you. We're not going to go to war with China. I mean, like Terry said, we've got too many products coming from there. Trust me, the United States is not the number one country in the world anymore. You don't hear that boast going on anymore, do you?
No, but I know
we're going to be over in the Middle East. You got to understand what's happening out there.
Brother, I understand what you're saying, but also look at the fact that if you're pushed in a corner and you're putting demands on you, what do? You're going to fight. And this country has weapons like you wouldn't believe. Being ex-military, man, I know the same thing. We've got weapons like you and me, and before I let you take me down, we're going to fight.
Cohen, it's not about trust.
Right.
Get the point, you think about it. Push come to shove, we're going to fight.
No, Cohen.
All we've had wars when the dollar got in trouble.
Cohen, the China is already fully integrated in the New World Order. You must understand. Let me tell you something. They don't want to blow themselves up, okay? Trust me. You've got to understand something. This goes back all the way back to biblical text. It's what's going on right now. This is the big picture. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to bring up two figures in the Bible, and I wish I knew my Bible a whole lot better. Let's talk about when they knew when Moses was going to be born.
Okay.
Didn't they know? They knew when he was going to be born, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women, who knew? Who are we referring to? Who?
The Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh priest. Correct?
Right. That's why they were doing,
okay.
Right. That's why they were doing the abortions and everything else, because they didn't know from what family line that this liberator, and this is the term they use, liberator, would show up the freedom, and it's allegory. Free the minds of those who were held bondage. They didn't know that, but they were, it's the same thing with COINTELPRO here in the U.S. The whole purpose of the program was to prevent the rise of a black liberator, one who would free the minds of the people, so abortions and everything was high. And if you showed up after the fact of them starting that, and you begin speaking in the way that they, because they know the buzzwords. The key here is buzzwords. What did he say? What did she say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're looking for that kind of guy right there. Get him. Nail him quick.
Now, Mohair, I want you to keep walking with me, okay?
Yeah.
I want you to keep walking with me. Now, when they also knew the birth of Christ, they knew when, the day, and the time, around what time and what area, am I correct, of his birth?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, now let me tell you something. They know about the next coming as well. And that is why they have to monitor us. They're not monitoring us people just because they want to know what you're doing in your home or what you're investing in or what you're doing. It's that they have a fear, a great fear of what is to come, and they want to set up their monitoring system because they know that the next coming is going to come out the Middle East, and that's why it's a very large amount of resources being put into the monitoring of people and the destruction of every person and the genetic manipulation of everyone in the Middle East. Now, let me tell you, the third coming is on its way on this, okay? Now, people, you got to understand, that's the big picture. This is the big secret.
You hear what I said about the war?
I heard what you said about the war, but
okay.
That's not the big picture. And I know that I know somebody's going to be doing research, Mohair.
But, man, follow me on this. You know, you and I talk about these things. A lot of people don't want to get into it because they don't want to realize that there's powers out there orchestrating things down here.
That's correct.
Okay. And you and I talk about it. I don't want to throw the audience off because some of these things are deep and they think it's all jive. But when you see things like the Matrix and movies like this, they come out with these movies, they're trying to tell you something.
Mm.
Now, but I agree with what the brother's saying, but at the same time, while they're knowing these things that's in place, we also know what else is taking place, and that is this. If you push these people right now, hey, you'll get a civil war. You'll get a civil war right in this country. We've got homegrown terrorists, people right now, because they don't like to be things going. The lady that got shot in Arizona. Try to walk him in the crowd and just blow it up, blew it all away.
Yep.
Okay?
That was a senator. That was a lady that was just elected.
Yeah, so now, was she Republican or Democrat?
She was.
It didn't matter.
Okay, yeah, sure.
They didn't agree with her philosophy. These are what I'm talking about. The worst war to fight is the guerrilla war.
Right. Now, I want to go back to something before we get really into, because you're right, though, all of the signs are there. I want to go back because I've got the protocol pulled up on my laptop. And there are two pieces out of the protocol I want to read. I want to read the one about economic wars.
Yes.
To see, Kerry, to give your listening audience a taste of what was written in 1489. And just from what I'm about to read, you're going to hear how it applies today because it's the same old story. And then the other part is Protocol 21, which deals with loans and credit. I want you to hear the original thought that was enshrouded when they put this out. I'm going to start. It is not no long read, so I picked what I wanted to read. This is protocol number 2 that deals with economic wars. This is what we got going on right now. I don't want your currency no more. We don't want this. Forget about your products. Your people can't pay for it. You're slipping to a fourth-class status in the world. Here we go. Protocol number 2. It says, it is indispensable for our purpose that wars, so far as possible, should not result in territorial gains. Now, this is a little bit what Roy was kind of talking about, too, because the picture, it is a big picture. So, Roy, we're right here on the same sheet of music right now. It says, war will thus be brought onto the economic ground.
Wow.
Where the nations, this is 1489, where the nations will not fail to perceive in the assistance we give the strength of our predominance. And this state of things will put both sides at the mercy of our international agent tour. That is all of the institutions that work for them, in case you don't know what agent tour is. Those who work on their behalf, politically, academically, wherever they be found in the church and outside the church. So agent tour is anyone who's on their payroll. Now, it says, which possesses millions of eyes ever on the watch and unhampered by any limitations whatsoever. Our international rights will then wipe out national rights in the proper sense of right and will rule the nations precisely as civil law of the state rules the relations of their subjects among themselves. Now, here we go. This is the last paragraph. It says, the administrators whom we shall choose from among the public. You hear what's going on? These senators and congressmen and anybody of notoriety, we find out that they're on these guys' payroll. They've been taking stuff under the table. So I believe the listening audience should be able to follow this. And mind you, what we're
reading right now was written in 1489, but is exactly what's going on right now. So it says, the administrators whoso choose from among the public with strict regard to their capacities for servile obedience will not be persons trained in the art of government and will therefore easily become pawns in our game in the hands of men of learning and genius who will be their advisors, specialists bred and reared from early childhood to rule the affairs of the whole world. Now,
okay.
I'm going to stop right there because I want to go to loans and credit because that's part of our topic, as well as who bankrupt America, and we are aware that America is based on debt and credit. Now, this is Protocol 21. It says, to what I reported to you at the last meeting, I shall now add a detailed explanation of internal loans. It says, of foreign loans, I shall say nothing more, because they have fed us with the national money of the goyim. You know what the word goyim means? Because you hear that word pops up. It's a Yiddish word, and it means you're like an animal. You're not counted as a full human being. Goyim could also mean another nation or another people outside of the people who framed this. So just to give you an understanding of the definition of that word. It says, but for our state, listen carefully, but for our state, there will be no foreigners, that is, nothing external. We have taken advantage of the venality of administrators and slackness of rulers to get our monies thrice, and more times over by lending to the goy governments monies which will not at all need it by the states. It says, they ask a question in their protocol. Can anyone do the like in regard to us? Therefore, I shall only deal with the details of internal loans. States announce that such a loan is to be concluded in open subscription for their own bills of exchange, that is, for their interest-bearing paper, that they will begin within the reach. All the price is determined at from 100 to 1,000, and a discount is made for the earliest subscribers. Those are the people who invest in currencies. So sometimes if you're a big enough guy and you're buying in millions and millions like they were doing with Iraq, I don't know if you know this, but if you're a quote-unquote a U.S. citizen, before the Iraqi dinar, if it should ever return to a status it had prior to their second invasion, where it took a few dollars to buy one Iraqi dinar, right now you can buy a million Iraqi dinars for as little as $1,000. So if that goes away, okay, and Iraqi dinar comes back on parity with the dollar and or surpasses the dollar, only those who got in on the ground first receive the huge discount. So you can still buy Iraqi dinars now at a huge discount. 1 million Iraqi dinars for $1,000 until the Iraqi currency is recognized and is back on par or some status with the world currency in terms of being able to trade and get a fair price for their currency. When that day happens, the U.S. dollar is, you won't waste your time trying to buy a million Iraqi dinars because you might need 2 million or 3 million U.S. currency to purchase that same 1 million Iraqi dinars. That's what I'm saying. So when I'm reading out of Protocol 21, they set this up. They give the value to it. And they offer the discounts to the earliest subscribers. It says next day, by artificial means, the price of them goes up, the alleged reason being that everyone is rushing to buy them. It says in a few days, the Treasury safes are, as they say, overflowing, and there's more money than they can do with. It says, why then take it? See, and I just said that without even reading the rest of this protocol, why would you go and spend that kind of money if the Iraqi dinar comes on par with the dollar? You won't do it. It says the subscription, it is alleged, covers many times over the issue total of the loan. And this lies the whole stage effect. In other words, it's for show. Look,
but,
you
and
confidence is shown in the government bills of exchange, and I'm gonna stop
there. Gotta go.
And now Mohair, you're correct on that. That's why we went.
Let me
that's why when Saddam.
Hold on a minute.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage. Today's topic is Who Bankrupt America? If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And, again, press 1. I see the phone lines are busy. I want to say to you all, do not be intimidated by these brainiacs I have on the show today. I have some very smart people, and I know they're intimidating. But if you have a question or a comment about today's topic, do call in and feel free to voice your opinion about whatever it is that you think about the subject, Who Bankrupt America. Okay, I'm sorry, Roy Jones, you were saying?
Well, first of all, I know you're going to get some phone calls because it's some people right now sitting back thinking like, is this really going on?
The phone lines are jammed, and I'm thinking, everybody's sitting there listening to y'all, and I'm thinking, listeners, do not be intimidated by these brainiacs.
We need to get to some of their questions, because we can go on all day.
On the line, but they don't have their hands raised, which means they're
We just can't go. But no, you know what, it's good to listen and take notes. Give us some points of reference, my brothers, so we can go and check. Like we said earlier, don't believe nothing we're saying. Go do the research. That's my motto. Go do the research like we've done. You know, there's a saying, and we live in a world of illusion. Everything's not as it appears to be. You know, it's actually an illusion, because if they want to create a crisis, all they do is take away supply.
Ooh.
You know, if they want oil to go up, all they got to do is sink a BP or sink an oil rig. If they want milk to go up, say we got a disease among the cows. Milk ain't no good. You know, they create these crises.
Peanut butter and the this and the that, they're creating these crises to instill fear?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we run on fear.
Wow.
And fear is what we have, false evidence appearing as real. We live in a world of illusions.
And now,
but we see how
easily
you can control people through fear, because we saw that under last administration, whenever they changed that terror alert, people were jumping like, you know, rabbits because they were afraid that something was about to happen.
Y2K.
And it would be orange one day,
Y2K.
And red one day, and it just kept changing, you know, until
remember
people got
Y2K.
On. Oh, nothing has happened yet.
Remember Y2K?
What's
next? 2012. What's that? 2012. People get real.
And Cohen, let me tell you something. You're right. That's one way they do it is fear. Now, there's another thing that they do as well, okay? Now, let's go back to Rome, because trust me, the stuff that's going on now, they've been doing this forever.
Oh, yeah, it's nothing new.
When they had a lot of insurrections in the state of Rome,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Talk good.
What did they put in place to stop the little insurrections that were happening in Rome? Can someone answer that question for me?
Go ahead and bring it on.
They
instituted. I'm not quizzing the audience, and go ahead and tell us the answers to these questions.
Yes, right. I want everybody to start thinking, because they used gladiatorial events.
Yes.
What they found out is that the Emperor Nero found out that by using a gladiatorial event, people came to an event, and they were able to cheer and root for their favorite gladiator. And what happened is that psychologically, people stopped becoming less informed about what was actually going on around them. They were easier to be controlled. Their aggression level went down because they perceived that their hero was actually being aggressive on the gladiatorial match and during the gladiatorial match. And today, our gladiatorial matches are
NFL,
NFL, NBA, NHL. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you. It's for those who are listening right now who think that they might be questioning that a little bit because it's been instilled in you and ingrained in you for years. Let me tell you that in the NBA, the NFL, and every professional sport in the United States is non-profit.
Non-profit.
That is to let you know that it's a part of the problem. It is non-profit.
Right.
The billions of dollars that these people are making on the NFL, and they're selling a product, and I know they're selling it because they're selling it to me, And that's why I don't watch it anymore. I used to watch it, but I don't watch it anymore because, you know what, I had to get out that state of brainwashing. I'm going to continue to be, you know, inspired, and I'm going to continue to have this, you know what, I don't want to do it anymore attitude, because, and I'm not going to allow my ferocity to go down just because I'm watching a sporting event. Sporting events were made for you and me.
Right, I want to add this on to what you just said. To what Roy just said, this whole thing of looking for your hero, and football players, by the way, and sports speak, they are referred to anyway as gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all know that. Check sometimes when they're talking on ESPN and all that, that they're referred to as that. Now, here's what I want to say. That whole thing of looking for the hero in America is not only limited to us watching the sports. In times of war or some contrived reason or notion of go to war, okay, right away the American people just like, that's it. Dump it all on them, okay? I don't care if something happens to you because I can't go out and buy that flat screen TV, okay? I'm suffering over here, and I need all this attention directed from me. This is why there's a karmic part that we have having sat back and allowed this to get to the point, and I don't mean we had to go to civil war per se and spill blood and shit. I'm not even trying to incite that, okay? Because so far, all your panelists, all of us included, are trying to disperse information in a responsible way. And the disclaimer I would give is all the information that we're providing to the listening audience based on knowledge, history, and time living on the earth, it's all based on the current information, the current trends as they appear now. So I want to give that disclaimer so people don't think we're sitting over here pretending to have a crystal ball. We don't. Current trends, current events form future trends. That's what Gerald Sinise says. That's the mantra. So we're saying the same thing. But people, rather than taking responsibility and actively saying, like one of your callers said, you know, it's about raising up the name.
No.
Well, rather than doing that, only 10%, maybe less than 10%, are actually going to do that. That's why the word remnant only means survivors. Those, the French been through it when the French had a revolution. All of those who learned the lessons from the corruption, economic, and all of that, the French was the one that said you should credit with inventing the guillotine because they definitely heads rolled. And those who was left after the aftermath said, we must never allow this to happen this way again. So the French, as crazy it might be right now, they have their issues, but there are certain things that do not occur over there because everyone, every brother is watching his brother's back in a way. They're watching. So there are certain things they simply are not willing to accept because they remembered how bloody it was the last time. Now, we had a civil war here in this country, and it looked like nobody learned a lesson from it. It's just a piece of history. You walk into somebody's house in the South, and they've got a Confederate uniform hanging up on the wall, and all they can seem to tell you is his grandpappy or his grand-grandpappy was fighting somebody in the North, and he was wounded, and this is it. And so as his son, he wants to keep the legacy alive. What legacy? What are you talking about? Why were they fighting? That's what I want to hear about. Why were they fighting? What happened? And what was the aftermath? And what are you doing about it to make sure that that never happens again? That's why I take aim at today in America when they speak the way that they do against Obama as making it look like all of Americans' woes, the economic downturn, the collapse, they're putting it in his lap, they're putting it in his office, on his table. It's like someone said before, the car is already broken. It's broke down on the side of the road. Along comes Obama. He has knowledge of how to get the car started. And they are complaining about him while expecting him to pick them up as passengers and take them on to their journey.
Let me just bring it relative to today. Let me explain that, and in my research I found that the U.S. will accumulate over $3.5 billion in new debt each and every day. That's more than $2 million per minute. Okay, so
yeah.
What we're saying, is America bankrupt? You do the numbers. Another thing I found in research is that about $4.4 trillion of the total debt is money the government borrowed from itself. So by writing IOUs for huge sums taken from Social Security and Medicare surpluses.
Yeah.
Then you ask, are we bankrupt? You do the numbers and you let me know. But what
you,
they
you
have
you know, a statement like this, it make like somebody's lying. But remember this, it's monopoly money.
It's monopoly money. It's
monopoly money. That's all it is, monopoly. Like you go
somebody
on,
called it monopoly money. Somebody else called it flawed currency.
Yeah, because like I told you, it's all, if you understand the game of life, look at chess and monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
You read pawns came up a while ago. You're pawns in the game. You read the book Pawns in the Game? So we're all a pawns.
Mm-hmm.
The real deal is you got to understand the game. And I heard my brother talking, and I'm with him. I want you to meet him, Roy, face to face, because I mean, I like to sing it. But Roy, like something he can just deep in that sometime. What kind of system are we operating on? Is the cash system, and where do we come from? And what controls the cash system?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And I want to add some numbers on with Carrie.
Yeah, do that.
And I love those numbers. Just think about it. 35%. It just came out this week, and who knows if the statistics are correct or not, okay? But I'm just going to put it out there, okay? 35% of the people in the United States are on some type of a retirement assistance. So
mm-hmm.
they're either on retirement or Social Security benefits. That
right.
is not including the 1 out of 6 people that are on welfare. And you just think about it. They just gave people in the United States a 15-month reprieve on their unemployment benefits for 15 more months. So, people, everyone that's listening out there today, if you're in a situation where you're in that 35 percentile or you're at that 1 out of 6 that's on welfare, at 1 out of 6 on welfare, I want you all to think about it, that you need to start thinking about what you're going to do for the future, because when the health care bill gets fully indoctrinated in every state in the United States, you're going to be looking at, let me tell you what's going to be happening. For people who make $65,000 as a household and under, you're going to have to put in $5,600 into the health care bill each year. And that's not including that taxes went up another 8% this year.
But see, in quoting what you just quoted, with those 32 states that borrowed that $37.8 billion from Uncle Sam to fund those unemployment benefits, what happens when Uncle Sam can't loan that money to the states to pay for those unemployment benefits? So then,
let me tell you what's going to happen. First of all, people are going to be
more money.
They're going to be living in tent cities, just like in Los Angeles right now. And then when people get fed up with that one, that's why they've got a facility down in the southern SoCal right now that holds 1.3 million people, and they're going to be shipping people out to these federal emergency management camps, and you're going to be sitting there, and who knows what's going to happen to you when you get there.
One of the stories I found as well is that European nations have begun seizing private pension funds. Hungary, Poland, and 3 other nations have taken over citizens' pension money to make up for government budget shortfalls. Now, how fair is that? And so you think, well, okay, that's happening in Europe. That's not happening over here. Well, it has, because in Pritchard, Alabama in 2009, they ran out of money in its pension fund. So they stopped monthly pension checks for 150 retired workers. That's here in Alabama. So that tells you where we're going. And remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger took a state employee, and remember he took them down to minimum wage while they were trying to help with the budget crisis in California?
Right.
So we've seen signs of it already that things are bad, but nobody's really telling us just how bad. But when things like this start to happen, when they start pinching off pension funds and dropping your pay, indicators, something bigger is around the corner.
Yeah.
Well, I was listening. This is Mahir. I was listening to a program where a legislator from the state of Illinois was giving a rundown on how broke the state of Illinois was. And by the way, Kelly, it's not 32 states that are bankrupt. It's 46 states that are bankrupt. He gave a comparison of Illinois compared to the city of Detroit. Not the whole state of Michigan, the city of Detroit. He said that he doesn't have a retirement fund to look forward to although he is still actively employed within the state of Illinois. He doesn't have that. He said he had it. He doesn't have it now. He says that things are so bad in the state of Illinois that state troopers are turned back from gas stations, and they have issued state credit cards that allow them to put gas into the car. There are gas stations that are turning them back.
Turning the cars down. I've seen that, Mayor.
Yeah, what is happening is that the state, the car does not decline at the pump, but when the payment is failed to be made, the owner, he gets hit with a fee on his side because now the funds are deficient or not sufficient funds. So the cards are not being declined at the pump when it says declined if you don't have money in your account. They're going ahead topping off the tanks, but these people are not getting paid. So now it says that it's their right. This is legislators making this point last week. It's in their right, and they are turning back.
I've seen that same report, brother, here.
I saw that 46 days, but I think the date on that one was less recent than the research that I did that reported 32 states. So I don't know if they were correcting themselves or what the situation was, but I did see that number for 46 states. But I think if you pay attention to the dates of those stories, the one that reported 32 states was more recent than that story about the 46 states, but I did see that.
It's going to change on a minute-to-minute basis, depending on how these numbers keep coming in, because we're playing with the numbers. So
very important. That's true.
Right.
Yeah, we're playing with the numbers. The next minute, it'll line will be 50, and tomorrow it'll be 50, you know. So we're playing with the numbers. So we're all
right.
Caught up in this matrix. We're all caught up in this chess game. And the idea now is how you're going to survive it. What are you going to do
right.
to survive when the dollar bill hit the ground? Well,
okay, now I want to say this.
I'm not finished.
Remember
what happened when the banks closed and you couldn't get your money out of it?
When they did the
right.
run on the bank?
Yeah. And
then
the banks were closed and you couldn't get in. You couldn't go to the ATM, didn't work. You couldn't get no money out of the bank. What happens then?
Exactly. Somebody answer that on the panel.
Right.
What happens when you go to the bank when we have a run on the bank? What is going to happen? Can somebody explain the scenario to the audience?
Yeah. I'm sure all of us can actually explain. Myself, Roy, and Cole, that's on the panel, and any of your callers probably can shed some light on this. They know right off the bat, and, of course, I think all of your panelists actually are all military or ex-military. So
yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to know that. Roy himself is a seasoned military man like us. Anyway, let me say this. As my experience is having been trained in urban warfare, civil disturbance, treatment of people in the street, we have been training for this since 1984, okay, for civil unrest. We already knew what to do. We already knew and was trained what to do with the people, how to cordon off every area, every city, every major highway, and how to divert you into the situation we want you in because we really don't want to fight you. We don't want to shoot you with the bullets. We don't want to do that. A lot of soldiers ain't going to do that anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, this is not to scare anybody. This is just to say, FYI, you need to be aware of this, okay? Basically, there's going to be riots. Now, let me give you some signs. They said that one of the guys who passed away, one of the elites, I think his name was Brahmin. I think that was his name. He died in November or the end of November. He's been talking to one guy, you probably know his name, Lindsey Williams. Lindsey Williams helps you out with information like that, too, because he says they never do anything to you before they tell you what's coming, okay? So they tell you. So you have to learn a whole new language. You have to learn buzzwords. So he says, here's a sign. He says right now the EU is coming apart. We know that, okay? Ireland just sold off its sovereignty for some money, okay? The EU, the euro, is not willing to carry Portugal. Spain has too much debt. They don't want that. Germany prefers to stand alone because it has one of the strongest economies of all of the countries part of the EU. So now Germany is now willing to just make its deal straight up with China and Russia and anybody else that they can make a deal up with and come to some understanding of how they need to trade between each other. Therefore, everybody's getting paid. This is where it is right now as of December that just left us. So the buzzwords, he says, the first sign, according to a global elite who just died, told this gentleman, he says, when you see the euro collapse, in America, you only have 2 to 3 weeks left to pull what little money you have out of the bank, because it's not going to be announced that way. People don't understand the true level and realm of finance. They have no idea how finance really works. They think finance is just the money. No, there's a lot more things that interconnect that defines what finance is. He says, well, I can tell you, when the EU is, the euro is dead, the American dollar only has 2 to 3 weeks left before its value goes to zero. And for those of you who don't get your money out, whether you get $100, $1,000, or whatever it might be, your direct deposit checks and all of that, you need to rethink how you want to do that, okay? Because what's going to happen is, he says that you will wake up one day, log into your account like you normally do, check your balance, and don't be surprised when you, it says your value is zero. Your balance is zero. You go to put your ATM card in to pull money, or you go to make a purchase from the supermarket, and your card is declined. He says, and then officially you know you're in what they refer to as a declared bank holiday and a national state of economic state of emergency will be declared because they know there are riots. That's one reason why they're bringing troops who've been fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, who has the experience in doing all of this, is the main reason why they're bringing these brigades back, which violates the Posse Comitatus.
Okay, what I was speaking of, though,
wars are not to be used against the American citizenry.
I don't think you understood my question. When I said a run on the banks, I wasn't referring to what the National Guard would do. I was referring to when there's a run on the bank, what happens in terms of that could collapse the U.S. economy, like in 24 hours, if there's like a run on the banks.
The U.S. economy will already be collapsed.
Right. What he's saying, I'm referring to
my question, not what he's saying. I'm referring to the question that I had. What happens when there's a run on the banks? That's the question.
There will not be a run on the bank, there's not going to be a run on the banks because the banks are going to have, they're not going to allow people to take out so much money. And if it becomes a problem, they'll just lock the door.
In 2008, that's exactly what happened. There was a run on the banks, and they took out, $580 million, like, in a short period of time. And they had to close the banks because they knew that if they didn't, there would be, like, $5.5 trillion taken out, which would collapse things overnight, like in 24 hours. That happened in 2008.
Well, I remember back in Dallas, there was a bank called Sun Bank there in Oak Cliff. When we came to get our money, the Fed was there and had a lock on the door, and we couldn't get our monies out. People were crazy in the parking lot, threatening to burn the building down. That's what people do when you can't get your money out. But I want to say this. You knowing now, and I heard my brother say about direct deposit, the Social Security Department now and have gone to now what they call a card. They don't send you a check no more. They've gone to a plastic card. They put your money on a card. That means they're going to a paperless society. Everybody demands now when you get a job, go direct deposit. You have to go open a bank account up now. What happens when you can't open a bank account up? How do you pay then? Because some people have got bad debts. You owe things owe other banks, and you can't go get a bank account. How do you get your money then?
Wait a minute though.
If you have bad credit, then you can't get a bank account. Is what you're saying? You can't direct deposit.
You can't get a job because they have no way to deposit your money.
Well, then you can take it to an Ace checking cashing place.
No, they haven't. You go now and you sign a job. They ask you to get a direct deposit. You can't. You don't get hired.
Well, I'm saying you can direct deposit into those ACE accounts. They have those kind of things set up.
I know, but you can do that, set it up. That's right now. It's going to change.
I believe that.
Everything changes gradually. My nephew the other day, because you know, if you get Social Security or get SSI, they're going to send you a paper check. Not no more. They send him a credit card.
Mm.
And your money is on your card. All I do is you misplace one number, and your card is no good.
Right. You get unemployment. They don't send out checks no more. Unemployment, your address has to be verified. Your address is verified. They check some background stuff on you, and they mail you a card.
A card?
So what's going on? and then you activate that card, and then all of your unemployment monies is automatically deposited on that card.
Now, suppose the computer goes down, you can't get your money deposited on your card.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. You got a glitch.
Right. Now, hold on. Let's go back to something real quick. I want to go back to something that Roy was saying, because this is something Roy said about over an hour ago. Okay? This whole notion about you pulling out your money, you saving your money up home and all of that, okay? There's a lot of truth to what Roy said because it's rooted in something solid. Look, if you can't get your money out of the bank because let's just say the euro collapsed and within that 2 or 3 week window, you can't get your money out. People are going to be upset in the parking lot. Well, the person who's got his money in the house underneath the mattress is going to be just as upset as the person who can't pull his money out because when it's devalued, it doesn't matter where it is.
That's
whether
it.
It's in your pocket, whether it's in your pockets or a dollar bill in your pocket, will still have zero value. Versus
let me
you
go
trying
to
get it out
the
ATM machine, zero value. That's
I'm going to give you a Bible, but remember, it shall come a time when you have money and
right.
bucket
right.
cannot spend
right.
it.
And just so the audience know that we're not just talking off the top of our head, okay? George Soros, everybody needs to know who this man is. Everybody knows who George Soros is, a multi-billionaire. He did an interview recently, okay, and one of the sisters actually sent me a link. It's a worth listening. It's an MP3 with Nathan Liao. So you want to look up Nathan Liao's recent radio broadcast in which he aired a piece of an actual interview that occurred with George Soros. We're discussing now the questions was put to him directly with regard to how does he see the economic position and situation of the U.S. He said, it is finished. It's finished. It's over. He says, now is the time to, he said, and used the word New World Order, and he used speaking also about China, all in the same breath. China is not fully sold and is not fully on board exactly with the New World Order. China has some growing pains and concerns about it, but they're confident that China will ultimately become part and buy into this. So they're not exactly there yet. So this is one reason in part why the U.S. is up in arms, going back to Rumsfeld, complaining about China and its military buildup. China is still building up. They're still refining their military tactics on the battlefield. They say China is preparing and they have stepped up ever so more now to be able to fight a military conflict in any direction. That report is as of a week ago.
Now, Mohair,
if you can't pay me, I'm coming for you. One way or another, I'm going to meet you somewhere.
Now, Mohair, you know, that is all a fear tactic. That is a fear tactic. I mean, it's definitely people. Whatever you do, don't fall for the fear, okay? They already have an agenda in place. Now, let me tell you something. They had a Senate bill, S-510. I think I mentioned that once before. They had a Senate bill that went through S-510, which will make it illegal for you to grow organic vegetables at your home. Because I know of some people out there right now thinking about, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do when this thing done? You know what you can do? You need to get some organic vegetables. You need to get non-hybrid seeds because, people, you got to understand, a genetically modified seed won't regrow. So
that's right.
If you get a tomato, you dry the tomato seeds out. They have genetically engineered these seeds. Well, you can't regrow them, and they grow. You have to constantly get seeds from them in order to grow. Okay, so therefore they're making organic seed illegal for you to grow at your home because the FDA is saying that the food is bad for you. They're saying genetically engineered food is good for you. Because you got to understand the big concept here, people. They're trying to kill you off.
They're trying. They're doing it.
And people, let me tell you what you need to do. This is what you need to do. First of all, you got to understand that there are 80 million households in the United States right now, per the last survey, if that's correct, that of 80 million households, they have multiple families living in the household because people are trying to survive right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is think about what the future is going to hold. Are you going to have your job? If money goes down, how are you going to feed your kids? You got to think about growing a vegetable garden at your home.
Right.
You need to think about doing these type of things, people, because trust me, you only going to have you're only going to have a couple, you're going to have a couple decisions to make. If you're going to go to the FEMA camps when it gets that bad, or you're going to try to homestead up and try to make it where you are. Because there's going to be a lot of people falling for this, and they're going to be at those camps, and who knows what's going to happen to you there.
Let me ask something. Something
ahead,
we didn't
Sarah.
Touch on as far
okay.
as what could be a reason for America being in the situation that it is. Didn't in 2004 Osama bin Laden release that tape that said that he wanted to bankrupt the United States? Didn't he say that?
Well, you know what? It wasn't
I
even
I
want to
go back further than that.
It wasn't even him. That's a body double. Y'all, everybody knows that bin Laden been dead for years.
Huh?
I want to go back to 1955.
Okay.
Makita Khrushchev, who was the time of Sputnik launch,
okay.
told the world, we're going to take America and not fire a shot. That's
ooh,
economic.
Sure did say that. Sure did
yeah,
say
Makita
that.
Khrushchev said that back in 1955 when he launched the Sputnik. When the John Shepard Dahl went into space, at that time during the Cold War and the space race, he said, we're going to take America and not fire a shot. It has already happened.
Wow. Can we also blame it on America giving so much foreign aid out, pork belly spending, fighting
no.
the wars at the same
no,
time?
No, because foreign aid ain't
no.
getting to them people out there. You got to understand where all the food coming from anyway. People sitting around there talking about people are starving off in Africa. How you think Great Britain gets fed? People are sitting around there. The motherland has all the resources. Look, let me tell you something. If you look at those television broadcasts of all these starving Africans and different things of that sort, you look behind them and you see green grass. And you tell me them people don't have the land. You know what? They've been dumbed down like they're doing us in our country.
We get foreign aid to Mexico.
To
we get foreign aid to several people, not just Africa now. We get foreign aid to a lot of people.
But
we're giving Mexico to fight the war on drugs. We're giving Mexico money to for the Border Patrol. We get foreign aid to a lot of other countries now, don't we, Roy?
Carrie, that's an illusion. There is no foreign aid. There's no foreign aid that trickles down into the mouths and hands of the people that is claimed it is. Most of these foreign aid, they're NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And by law, the same thing just happened with Haiti and nobody noticed.
But we're talking about what bankrupt America, though. If we're giving out money, we shouldn't be giving out. That's my point.
No,
getting where it's supposed
America,
to get to. Right?
Yeah, but America's never had any money to give out to anybody because America only butters the hands of his buddies. This is not the people in the street.
Let's go to the phone lines, y'all.
Area
code 111. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Okay, Tide, real quick.
Okay, real quick, who bankrupt America? You guys are on the right track, except for the foreign aid. The foreign aid is bankrupting America because of money that's being printed up by the Federal Reserve, which the taxpayers have to repay, regardless of whether the money's going to Africa or Mexico or anyplace else. That's the answer to that question.
Okay.
That's straight to the point.
All right.
Okay.
And who else is bankrupting America? Well, the Federal Reserve is doing it with the help of Congress. So in a nutshell, nothing can be done without the President and Congress working together.
Okay.
Now, all the smoke and mirrors about Congress saying, well, there's a deficit. We have to reduce the deficit. Well, you guys have been in office for the last 20, 30 years increasing the deficit. Now you're going to talk about the increasing
right,
the deficit?
Right.
Is that Kelso on the phone?
That's who?
Kelso? That's not Kelso? Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, all right. Sorry. So that's it.
Well,
are we already broke?
You're broke.
Yeah, we're broke, but only thing is that there's so many dollars floating around the rest of the world, and the dollar is still the world's reserve, that we're not technically broke yet, but we will be broke after 2012 when hyperinflation comes in.
Wow.
And let me tell you something.
We need to go back to the phone line. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Area code 602, good afternoon. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, hi. I was just calling in. I found your discussion really intriguing. And listening to your panelists talk about the dollar falling and the North American Union, the Amero and everything, I just really can't just start really thinking about the fact that, I mean, it's really going to all, if they get this one world domination for money, it's really going to get to a point, too, where we're going to see this mark of the beast type thing, this chip that they're,
yes,
you've seen in the news that people implant, you know, where you have to have it to buy and sell and things.
The 666?
I think,
it's already
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
It's already
so
been planned. It's already in place.
Yeah, so I think this is the sign of the times, and they're just really pushing their agenda ever so profusely right now.
Right.
And then also, too, kind of going off the, you guys talked about China and the China building up their military and everything. And there might be some credence to that, too, to the simple fact that I just remember some weeks or months ago, I can't remember how far ago, but there was, they couldn't identify what it was, but it looked like a missile to me off the coast of California.
That's true.
And nobody knew where it came from, what it was. Pentagon, the Defense Department, I'm like, wait a minute, we're supposed to have the best, you know, technological, you know, military defenses in the world, and no one could yet identify it and has not even identified it. It's just dropped off the face of the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, this kind of makes you think, you know, you really don't know where, like you said, China is on it and everything. And also, yeah, like I said, it's kind of plays into the signs of the times it talks about, you know, in the Bible and Revelation. So that's all I had to say.
So, Paula, do you think we're broke already?
Yeah, we're broke.
Thank you, Paula.
This is one more thing. Carrie, I know we don't have much time. Carrie,
okay,
this is Mahir. I know we don't have much time, Carrie, but
go
I want to say this. Here's another thing that is also, when America went off the gold and silver standard,
okay.
Every time you pull that Federal Reserve note out of your pocket, even here in America, and you use it somewhere, the U.S. government is charged interest when you walk into a supermarket and you hand somebody $10 at the cash register. They have a whole funny little fuzzy accounting system on how they account for how much of this is floating around there and how much of it is actually being used in the economy. And they also get charged for that because it is a debt note. So I want to buy a hot dog, $2 and some change, that with a Coke, and I give the guy at the hot dog stand, he's going to take that, deposit it into the bank. It's accounted for a certain kind of way, okay? And they're also being charged for that. And they said when the Federal Reserve first opened its doors in 1913, people didn't have loans and that kind of stuff, but when they started using the Federal Reserve notes right off the bat, they said within the first week, the debt was $5 million just for using it.
Wow.
You need to think about that. We wasn't making loans to anybody. Just for walking down the street with it in your pocket about to make a purchase, it incurred a debt right off the bat.
Wow. Okay, let's try to go back to the phone lines one more time. Area code 111.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, now the gentleman who's just speaking, he's giving the impression that as soon as you have a dollar in your pocket or $10 and you pass it in the bank or you buy something, all of a sudden you're charged with it. That's not the case. Okay.
What is the case?
The case is when the Federal Reserve lends money to the United States, that's when the money is charged.
Okay.
Okay, at 3%, 4%, whatever the prime rate is. That's a whole big Ponzi scheme. Now, is that what the gentleman was talking about, or was he talking about literally when you take the money and you buy something with it, all of a sudden you're charged?
Okay, we have...
You know, that's, I'm here, and thank you for pointing out that that detail. Actually, what you just said, that is the correct picture. So what I was saying, actually, that is the truth of the matter. So I didn't say it the way you said it, but I do know that by the time you get it, it's already...
Okay.
It's only interest-bearing.
Yeah, I had to say it like that because sometimes, you know, people can misperceive what other people are saying.
Right.
You know, and plus there's another person, he's going around on various talk shows, and he's talking about, not you, but another person who's written a book, and he's talking about how the Federal Reserve has a lien on everything we buy.
Wow.
So
okay,
I called.
That's going to have to be the final word, y'all. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
I'd like to say thank you to Kohan Yashiva, y'all, Roy Jones, and Mahir Il. Technically, the Christmas card contest had no winners because people sent in their business cards, but they did not send in Christmas cards. So technically, there were no winners for the Christmas card contest. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Sender Sage or our host. We also want you to join us for our upcoming shows. And also, on behalf of Kundalini, AJ, and myself, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.